to follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in, watching the program as always on YouTube TV, listening SiriusXM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our affiliates across the country. Big hour coming up. We'll get to tonight's Major League Baseball card. We'll get you our best bets at the back end of the show today. And right now we begin the hour by going out to the Progressive guest line and welcoming in professional sports bettor Paul Bovey to the program. Where in the world is Mr. Bovey today?
I'm in New York City, in Chelsea, to be specific.
All right.
I just came from Saratoga. I had a nice Sunday, and all is good. So we're ready to roll with some NFL.
Very good. I love that. I think I'm going to make a trip to Saratoga next year for the first time, by the way.
Oh, awesome place.
Yeah.
You'll have a great time. Very festive town. Very opulent, so it'll fit you well. You'll have fun. You'll have fun for sure.
Let's get into your favorite win total at this point with the season now coming up in a few weeks of the NFL. Which team is it?
I mentioned this on the show when I was pounding the table on the Knicks back in June, and I'm sure you guys have covered it. And at the time, I leaned into the quarterback carousel of ineptitude of the Vikings this past year, and the fact that Brian Flores, Kevin O'Connell are back, and that they won 9 games last year despite this ineptitude. And it can only be better with Kyler Murray, who put up decent numbers 2 years ago.
So what have you done? Are we talking about 8.5 as a win total? Is that your standard play? Do you approach it from an alt win total standpoint? Tell us exactly why you love the team coming up with the season now rapidly approaching.
All right, so I'm over 8.5. I played them for the division. And I think in addition to looking at the obvious, which is Max Brodner, Carson Wentz, and J.J. McCarthy, look at the numbers that they put up. Beyond that, you look at the offensive line, which many do not focus in on. That offensive line did not take the field together until week 12 and only once thereafter. O'Neal in and out of the lineup, Darashaw in and out of the lineup. The only player that logged all 17 was Will Fries. Henceforth, 60 sacks allowed, only second to your Las Vegas Raiders, who gave up 64. Touchdown to interception ratio, 18 to 21. 18 to touchdown, 18 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. That was the worst in the league. Even the Cleveland Browns were better with only 2 under 500. Yards per attempt, 4.9, fourth from the bottom. Yards per completion, 9.5. fourth from the bottom. So there's a lot of reasons why you would feel that the Vikings offense is going to be better. And I think it will be prolific this year. They got Jennings from the 49ers to complement that receiving core. They got a running game. Jordan Mason, more than capable, running behind that offensive line, put up solid numbers. Not sure how much you're going to get out of Aaron Jones at this point. He is 31 years old, but he's still got something left in the tank. So there's a lot of reasons to feel that the Vikings could go over and should go over this 8.5.
I am with you and on that. Oh, sorry. Continue.
I thought leaning into that, I think all three teams in this division have taken a step back, and that's part of my reasoning as well.
Okay. I also with you with the over, and to tie it in with the roster, we because there was no rapport or chemistry with McCarthy and Jefferson. I'm sure you're expecting big things out of Jefferson after he was ticked off how things went. He still somehow had 1,000 yards last year, but only had 2 touchdowns. So he could be in for a monster year.
It's a total miracle, Paulie, the fact that he went over 1,000 yards. Now, there's one thing I do want to point out with the Vikings. The only concern I have is a little bit on defense because they did lose several players, Hargrave, Allen, and Jonathan Greenard. And those three collectively 177 tackles and 10 sacks. So I think they're going to be better on offense, but they have some unproven players to replace those three on defense. And that would be my only concern. But as far as Jefferson goes, yeah. Jefferson entered the league first year, 1,400 yards, and every full season he's put up monster numbers, 1,500, 1,600. So, you know, I played him over 1,150 yards, which to me is a no-brainer. That's 68 yards per game. When you bet these futures on running backs, on receivers, they're going to make it more often than not if they stay healthy. You're betting on the health of the player. You get 17 games out of them, you'll probably go over 65% of the time.
Yeah, and when Kyler Murray, by the way, falls in love with a number one target, and he's had some good ones in his career, man, does he pepper the daylights out of him? Look back at his history with stud wide receivers with Arizona, professional bettor Paul Bovey, our guest, in love with the Minnesota Vikings this year, over 8.5 big. You've shown us the tickets. You're not fooling around, obviously, with those bets on this team. I would say one thing about the Vikings losing a couple of players on defense. No doubt you mentioned talented players no longer on the team. Haven't we reached the point of Brian Flores' career where we kind of trust him, though, to make up for those losses?
Exactly. If Brian Flores wasn't in the picture, I would be a lot more concerned than I am because I think he'll make it work. He'll find a way to make it work. So I love the coaching. I love O'Connell. I love Brian Flores. And this year, Vikings 10-11, could even win the division.
Okay. And you bet what, over 5-1, obviously, in them to win that division?
Yeah. Okay. I took the 5-1. 5-1, yeah, not as much as I took on the win total. I mean, the win total I'm more comfortable with. One of these other three could come out of the clouds and win this thing. I don't see it. Honestly, I just think they've taken too much of a step back.
Okay.
And I could cover that at length.
Explain that then. And let's begin with a team that won it last year. Why do you think the Bears are going to take a step back?
All right. I'm sure you guys have touched on the turnover differential of plus 22. But if you go to that secondary and you look at Bayard, Brisker, and Wright, these guys total 266 tackles and 13 interceptions and 27 passes defended. And I don't think they did enough to replace them. They do have Stevenson at cornerback. He's pretty good. They did bring in Kobe Bryant. Not bad, but
he's also
not the
hurt.
Caliber. What's that?
Kobe Bryant's also hurt.
He's also hurt, but it's not the caliber of these players. Then you look at the receivers. Last year, the leading receiver was Loveland, 713 yards. And you give away DJ Moore, okay, you let him go. But now you're looking at, Luther on one side and on the other side, Adunze. Now, Adunze, over the last 2 years, target completions, he's at 50%. That's not good enough for me. I know Ben Johnson wants to score a lot of points, go up and down the field, but just because he wants to do it, I just don't think he has the horses to do it. That's just the way I'm looking at the Bears. I just think they're going to take a step back offensively, and I certainly think they're going to take a step back defensively.
Totally agree. Not, and I mentioned the plus 22 turnover differential, 33 takeaways, and an NFL record wins when trailing the final 2 minutes of a game.
Yeah, these things tend to flip.
Yes.
They're very random in nature and they caught a bunch of breaks. Hey, they took me out of Survivor last year on Thanksgiving. I really got an axe to grind with the Bears, but that's my fault. But anyway, I just think that I just think Chicago's going to take that step back.
Oh, 2 minutes here, then. Explain why you think Detroit, with the easiest schedule in the league, is also going to come back to the pack, even though they missed the playoffs.
I don't know if I can cover it in 2 minutes. The offensive line is in shambles. You lose Ragnow at center. Then you bring over somebody to replace him, Glasgow. Now you bring over Mays. Mays gets hurt. You're going to start Sewell, and you're going to start Juice Scruggs, and then you're going to start a first-round draft pick, a second-rounder from last year, and a sixth-rounder from 2024. Let's not forget that defense of last year. They went to a five-game stretch. The Rams put up 500. Okay, it's the Rams. The Giants put up 500, and the Steelers put up 496. You got Kirby Joseph. He's hurt. Obviously, Terry and Arnold, we know all the problems. And we've got Amir Robinson's gone. He went to Washington. They've lost players that combined 38 passes defended. They've got guys hurt. I just don't see it. I just don't see why there's so much love for the Detroit Lions right now, because, you know, protection is going to be definitely a question. And that defense, I'm concerned. Aren't you concerned?
Okay, well, I don't have enough time to answer it here, but we'll continue on the next in the next segment here. So high on the Vikings, so far down on the Bears, down on the Lions. You're also going to be down on the Packers. I want to hear why. I want the audience to hear why with that. And you have a bet on the Vikings against those said Packers in week one. It's available, and I love it. I want to hear why you bet it coming up next here on VSiN. We continue talking NFL. Professional bettor Paul Bovey with us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Stated his case for the Vikings. Really likes him a lot this year to go over 8.5. Bet him as well to win that division at 5-1. He also gave his reasons in the first segment. If you're just tuning in, you can always go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast. Anti-Bears with his reasons there. Anti-Lions, same thing. And also you're down on the Packers. Why is that?
First of all, Wicks and Dobbs departed, and they retained Watson and Reed. Okay, I'm not sure that that was the best combination to go with there, because these two guys that they kept combined played 17 games last year, so health is definitely a question. So last year they amassed all of 36 sacks. That was like third from the bottom. The pass rush was definitely in question. So you bring over Micah Parsons with the goal of improving that pass rush, but you let a few guys go. Three of them, including Quay Walker and Gary, who went to Dallas in the trade, combined 12 sacks, and you think you're going to get 20. But instead, you're only getting 6.5 because Micah Parsons is out of the lineup. So net-net, you're down from 36 to 29.5 sacks. To me, the offense is in question. They let their left tackle walk, which I think was a mistake. So offensive line in question. Receivers in question, and the defensive pass rush is in question. Corey Valentine is also banged up. He is one of their better corners. I don't see the upside for Green Bay. I know others do, but I don't. So another team that to me will be on the decline this year, and another reason why I think the Vikings hurdle the 9.5.
Okay. Well, so I'm also looking right now at the Vikings -1.5 in that week one game. Have you bet that? What else have you done for that matchup?
So I took a team total there because I mentioned that I think the Vikings offense this year, maybe this is a strong word, prolific is a strong word, but I think it'll be pretty damn good. And now you're going against a team that is going to lack a pass rush and may even have Corey Valentine out. So I think the Vikings are going to score points. Now, you look at a team total. What should the team total be? If it's 1 and 45 or 45 and a half, you should really be looking at 23 or 23 and a half, possibly. I got 22 and a half. I'm comfortable with that number. When I look at team totals, I want to be under 24 most of the time. I don't want to be at 24. It's a very common number. And I don't want to be at 24 and a half because that implies you got to get to 27. So I like the 22 and a half. I think they're going to put up some points. I'm more comfortable with Minnesota putting up the points than I am with Green Bay for reasons I just explained, applicable to the receivers that they hung on to. So I went team total over. I'll probably also play them on the money line. I missed the opening number, but, you know, so be it.
I think you, with the Detroit thing, and I'm with you on Minnesota, Chicago, and Green Bay, I think the Detroit thing, you're not. It's a lousy schedule they're playing, and I think that's why a lot of people are high on them as well. That they're going to take advantage of that schedule and win a lot of games there. What say you about that factor?
Listen, I did look at that, Paulie, and I agree with you. The schedule's kind of weak, but boy, they got a lot of pieces in question there. That secondary, I don't think they've done enough to improve it. I really don't. And I question the blocking that's going to be in place for Jared Goff this year. There's just a lot of things going on there that I think it's a work in progress.
Okay. Have you entered the contest out here at Circa yet? If not, when are we going to see you next? And do you plan on doing 10 Survivor contests?
I plan on getting out there within the next week. I was actually at an inflection point. I was in New Jersey today, and I'm saying, should I go to Vegas or should I go to New York City? So I go to weather.com, and I look, okay, it's cooled off in Vegas. It's 107, but do I really want to be in 107? So I guess at some point my back's going to be against the wall, and I'm going to have to suck it up, but I'll be out in Vegas to do my biz within the next probably 10 days.
All right. Grandissimo?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm just going to go straight to back for another go at it. It was a rough go 2 years ago. It still haunts me to this day. 2 out of 53.
Mm-hmm.
1 out of like 18 or 19. And I end up busting out with a team I shouldn't have gone against because it's my team. And then last year I made the mistake that a lot of people did and figured the Philadelphia Eagles would roll over the Bears. And,
no, that happens. There's never a good way to exit Survivor. Mm-hmm. Never. So by the way, the game you're talking about 2 years ago was you were on the Colts against the Giants. What were they laying?
Drew Lock game.
Yeah. What were they laying? 7, whatever, be big number, got blown out.
The thing was, I literally was going to take the Chargers over the Patriots. In fact, I had asked Maddie,
that's right,
what time is the cutoff? And when I didn't opt for that, he actually contacted me shortly before, and he goes, Paul, are you sure you want the Colts? And that should have been the sign. That should have been the sign, like, yeah, okay, maybe this is – maybe Maddie has a point there. Mm-hmm. And I rolled over and, you know, what are you going to do?
Hey, let's kick this around for a second, too, because we brought on Robert Walker yesterday, who was awesome. Tales from Las Vegas, longtime bookmaker here in town. He was telling the story about in the first Rams-Patriots Super Bowl, he took $4.6 million?
Yes.
On
money line.
Rams money line. They wanted the game, obviously. We kicked around ideas of who it could have been. You have a theory on who that better was. Do you want to share?
Well, you know, I do know that Kirk Kerkorian was going into Caesar's Palace every week, and he liked to dabble in the games. He liked to dabble in the ladies. So I did see him out once in Miami with a table of about 9 models. And he was betting $100,000 a week a game at Caesar's Palace. So is it possible that it was Kirk Kerkorian? Sure, because he kind of gave some kind of an analogy about $20, that the millions was kind of like the same as $20 to him. So I figured maybe it was Kirk. I don't know, but I'm just taking a shot.
Okay. You ever hear the Bill Brennan story before? The cashier?
I did not.
Stardust, who ran away with hundreds of thousands of dollars, never to be heard from again?
I think I did hear that.
Okay.
Not planned out well.
I did hear that.
No. They think $300,000 is going to get you through and the FBI's after you, and it's 1992. Oof. Not going to get it done.
All right, buddy.
See you soon, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
They should start off 4-1, though. I'm talking about your Lions. That's definitely in play. Saints at home at the Bills. Jets at home, Carolina, Arizona.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
that's
got to be a 4-1.
It's
got to be a 4-1.
Yeah, if not, then my win total of 10.5 over right. is going to be in trouble.
But then it's Green Bay, Minnesota at home at Miami. Winnable games there, too.
Yeah, by the way, they're not going to go winless in their division.
Right,
like that's not going to happen.
Right.
So
schedule's a big key with the Lions. All the injuries they had defensively, getting healthy. I say Detroit over, Minnesota over, Chicago under, Green Bay under. But it's got to be an upgrade at quarterback, and it's a big year for Murray, and we talked about the guys under pressure at the top of the show as well. He's on that list, being a former. And we're going to get Jefferson off the milk carton, hopefully, too, and a new and improved Jefferson this year. We're on the clock tomorrow, second annual Pro Futures football draft, 13 hosts, guests face off in the fantasy football style snake draft hosted by Dustin. Win totals, division winners, player props, stat leaders, Keyshawn Johnson in studio, Nick Bakay, new to the draft, the guru, John Hansen. Tune in tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN, 2 hours. Each person makes 10 picks, Sports Betting Network on VSiN. Catch it tomorrow. Looking forward to what Keyshawn Johnson has to say.
I heard this theory about the Bears this year. What if they're not in one-score games anymore? What if they're up by 10 to 14
yeah,
every game?
I can't see it.
Johnson's right, winning by blowouts.
The defense is so bad with how many guys you've lost already. And I mean, if you're signing guys off the street already in August.
And the schedule is...
That's right. It's
that is a meat grinder, man.
Really dynamic on offense,
right?
If that's the case.
Well, which they could be. That's my biggest fear, obviously, of going against that team.
Week one's a good test. That's a good game. You're 2.5 at Carolina to start. Yeah.
We have a doozy going on right now at Fenway. Back and forth. The affair continues right now in the bottom of the seventh. And tonight's card coming up next. How about 15-5 as a dog in this spot, including 7 winners in a row? Find out which pitcher next. Hell of a game at Fenway. It was supposed to be a great pitching matchup between Fott and Tolley. Both guys, gave up 3 runs or more. Tolley responsible for 3. He struck out 6. No home runs allowed, but Fott allowed 3 home runs and 5 earned. And he was staked to a nice lead, but he was tagged a couple of times in this game, like I said. Gasper homered again. Duren homered. Sogard homered. I'm checking right now. Is that 3 days in a row for Gasper? What a name. Mickey Gasper has homered 3 days in a row.
That's baseball, Susan. Last 9, 7-0 with a 1-1-5, and he couldn't hold the 5-2 lead. And they gave him 5 runs, and he couldn't hold it.
Yep.
And if they don't come back here, they'd be swept and stay back as San Diego and Philly. And Philly's just underway, and the Padres lost 2 out of 3 in New York.
Some of these numbers, by the way, for the home runs in this game. Gasper was 7-1.
Okay.
Lars Nootbaar homered for the D-backs. He was 10-1. Duren was plus 650. Nick Sogard was 13-1 to hit a home run.
Big prices.
Yeah, I would
Good
say
job.
So.
We can't play the Goldie props. He's not in the lineup coming up. Damn. So 450 career against Bassett. And the Yankees 7-2 this year against Baltimore, trying to get. I mean, everyone's in this race in the AL with the wild card. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But Yankees now 70-55, tough with the total of 9, just because the Yankees can't hit. But we don't have Goldie here as well, and we'll see if the Yankees can keep it going against Baltimore and the success they've enjoyed this year. I don't trust Warren. He's been so bad. 1-5 with an ERA of 6 the last 12 appearances.
Yeah, and how about this now? Trends don't pay the rent, obviously, but you brought up those numbers with Goldie going against Bassett in the past and not in the lineup tonight. Bassett as a home dog since 2022, 15-5 straight up.
Good numbers.
He's won 7 straight. Grisham's been red hot for the Yankees. Last 9 games batting .361, 4 doubles, 5 home runs, 11 RBIs. Can anybody else do anything offensively for that team? I mean, they clearly need Judge back in the worst way imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees have won 16 of Warren's 24 outings this year. This guy gets run support, 5.5 runs per game. That's the thing.
That's the frustrating part about what if the bats would come alive,
because
the pitching's been ridiculous and they lost so many 2-1 and 3-1 games, especially in the last 10 days.
Well, if the bats come alive, they're going to walk over the American League.
They could.
In the playoffs.
Yeah.
That includes the Rays.
Mm-hmm. We disagree tonight, but his numbers are bad, but he's been okay the last couple times out. But I would think they can get to Scherzer tonight. And Rasmussen's $1.80 at home. 20 games over 500 at home. And they've been playing good ball. I mean, you mentioned several times, Toronto 13-6 going back.
Right.
And the pitching's been there as well. But I just think a good bounce back spot, and they can touch up Scherzer tonight at home.
I put it in my notes from last night, looking at these games. I wrote down immediately, should the Rays be... Look, I mean, I get it. It's a complete mismatch here on the mound. But in my notes, I put, should the Rays be... They were 213, the first number that I saw. I'm like, that is a touch high. So I looked to bet the Blue Jays last night. I wanted 2-1. I did not find it. There were like plus 180s out there, maybe plus 190. I didn't take it, but 2-1, if it was out there, I would have. So I stayed away from it overall. I just explained this from the Rays. Their first 16 games against divisional opponents, they were 14-2. The ERA from the starters was 2.4. The relievers had a 3.45. In their last 24 games against the American League East, 9-15 overall with the record, a 5.07 starting pitcher ERA, and a 4.75 ERA from the relievers. Total flip job here with it.
Yeah.
But it's Rasmussen is the man.
Yep. Absolutely. And I think they cover the run line tonight as well. What do you want to do with Seattle? Which is, they're not the A's, but one of the biggest disappointments in baseball, and they're 59-67. So people have been pointing to September schedule and how easy it is, and it is. It's 2 series against the A's, 2 series against the Angels, and they also get 3 against Colorado. But you get humiliated 22-0 in the largest shutout loss since 1888. I know Raleigh's apologized how bad he's been this year. I just don't think it's happening. And even when they lost 3 out of 4 last week in New York, well, the win was 1-0. It's just not going to happen for this team. And I think they know it. And there's too many teams they have to jump as well, even though it's an easy schedule in September. But we are going to see what you're made of the next couple nights after you got humiliated and everyone's mocking you what happened last night.
All right, you mentioned his name earlier, Jeff Sherman, longtime Vegas odds maker. He's now at Circa. He's had this theory. I think it applies more to the NBA because he loves the NBA so much. But when a team gets blown out, like absolutely embarrassed, I'm not talking about like 9-1 baseball. That happens almost every day. 22-0 happens never. So, right. And his idea is, I want to be on the team that got absolutely throttled, thinking that the pride is there, they're going to bounce back, and that you can absolutely see, that effort overall in basketball being a thing. Does it apply to baseball when you still got to go out there and hit the pitcher? But they do have Gilbert going tonight, so he could be phenomenal, and then they could win a 2-1 game, and it looks good.
And that means where you at with May.
Well, I can't believe I'm saying this, but nice pickup so far.
Sure, he has been good.
Yeah.
And now the number one in run differential, too. So about 4-game lead over the Dodgers for the 1 seed. They have the tiebreaker and a 5-game lead over Atlanta. Braves got swept today in Minnesota.
Crazy.
How about that?
Yeah.
So they're opening up a lead here. That should get the 1 seed.
I will add on with this game. Steve Mackinnon has this at vsin.com. Home favorites off a game when they hit 4 or more home runs over the years, 6-plus seasons. 399 and 198 straight up, 67%, plus 62.37 units. That would be the Mariners laying the small price tonight. And the same, you can bookmark this for tomorrow, Paulie. for win-lose when the same game parlays pop for the Dodgers tonight, and who's going to hit the home run? Multiple guys will. They
have, you're right. Yep.
Yeah, this roster has 271 career plate appearances against Freeland. Mookie Betts, 3 home runs, 8 extra base hits. Shohei Ohtani, stunning. 563 average, 3 home runs, 4 extra base hits. And Tommy Edman, along with Andy Páez, each have 2 home runs off Freeland tonight. So you just want to put it in by default? 3 round robin, play him?
I'm coming back with Ohtani total bases over again, too.
I played a little plus 210 on him. I'll tell you what, I was driving home last night, got home, and PCA had just hit the leadoff home run. And this was, to your analogy, it was the World Cup all over again. I'm like, they keep doing this.
Yeah.
As soon as I parked, I'm like, I'm betting Ohtani to hit a home run. And I bet him at 2-1, and he got one. You text me, I'm like, he wasn't even paying attention to the game. Like, he did it again. So I rolled some of that over into plus 210 tonight on a home run.
Nice.
For him.
I think they should cover the run line, too. Sasaki's been good. And they should get to Freeland, no doubt. This keeps going up. This is ready to go. Cleveland is now 225 with Messick against Tugboat Wilkinson, making his debut for the Giants, who are atrocious.
For what it's worth, I just got an alert that a pretty damn sharp bettor is on the Guardians tonight. Looks like a couple different ways.
Okay, I can't talk you into the Reds because they can't hit. Well, what a season for Burns. Oh, 14-2 with a 2.47.
Here's the thing is that, and I believe I brought this up on the air earlier in the summer, every time I make the case for an under, right? It's like, oh, this looks good. Like, nothing's going to happen in the first three. 2 star pitchers are on the mound. Give me under 1.5 plus money or under whatever that matchup might be. Under 4.5 for the first 5. I think I'm 0 for 2026, giving out, like, unders and betting unders overall. So the 8.5 tonight with the pitching matchup and how inept the Cardinals have been on offense this year, they have lost 4 of their last 5. They've been held to 1 or 0 runs in 3 of them, including the loss yesterday. It was their 12th shutout loss of the year.
Oh.
Only the Mets and the Pirates have more. So I would like to sit here and tell you I'm betting everything under, and then I know it's going to happen. It's going to be 4-3 in the second inning. And somehow, some way, like Walker hits a 3-run shot off Burns somehow. And it doesn't make any sense, but that's the way it'll go if I bet it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm out.
All right. Is that 18? It's 18 in a row now without a hit for at-bats for Baez?
Baez, yep.
Damn.
He was posted immediately at 150-1 to win a rookie of the year.
Okay.
Can we dial back that number now a little bit and make it 6,001? By the way, bases loaded now. Red Sox, Diamondbacks, 2 outs in the bottom of the 7th inning.
First 2 on for the Yankees. And a horrible loss by Detroit. They blew it in the 9th.
They lost, that again.
They lost 2 out of 3 in Pittsburgh. They've lost 5 out of 6 now. Pirates walk them off. But the other thing was what happened with Skeens. He only threw 80 pitches, and he went 4 and a third. So 9 and 16 when he starts. ERA of 5 in his last 16. They gave him time off. And he still goes out there and throws 81 pitches.
Tip of my cap to anybody out there in the audience who got on fading Paul Skeens early in the year and stuck with it. Great job by you. Because you are multiplying your bankroll every single time he takes the mound. Today they won the game, but if you fade them first 5 or earn runs or walks or whatever, under Ks, somehow, some way you're making money on Paul Skeens. I'm not, but for those of you who have been, good job out there. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll update. This is a huge pitch coming up, a 1-2 count, bases juice for the Red Sox. In-pocket plays are coming up, our best bets for tonight and beyond here next on the Sports Betting Network.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right. 2 new plays. They were good to us last week, Sunday night on Fox. Titans laying 4 against Seattle. Seattle was dreadful in their last time out against Dallas. Couldn't get anything going with Milroe. And Trubisky back at practice for Tennessee. Expect a better showing out of Cam Ward in the offense. And then you got a battle for the backup with Levis and Trubisky. Salah now 11-3 straight up in the preseason in his career as well. Take the Titans at home on Sunday night. And this is the worst team in the Western Conference, arguably the worst team in the NBA this upcoming season. They couldn't go over this last year. They lose DeRozan. Westbrook calls it a career. It's going to be Acuff taking a ton of shots. And the lowest paid coach in the league, not Norrie, it's Doug Christie. Oh. Sacramento Kings under 22.5 wins. Now it's going to be a long year in a loaded Western Conference. Good luck.
Like, who's worse than them in the West?
I can't think. They are. They are the worst.
They're the worst?
Maybe Memphis. Okay. But still, I still think Memphis will win more games. And certainly we expect Utah to compete this year and give it a shot with a good roster.
You seen their win total? Open 34.5 up to 39.5 now.
That high?
Move 5 already? I think it's still too low.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so got there last night. Malinsky special. Now, it was not a rocking chair. I don't expect, you know, ever to have rocking chairs, but this one, it was 1-1 late. Yankees got two, held on. They were in a little bit of trouble with the bullpen, but they hung on, got it done. And not that the Malinsky special needs to be an auto bet, but it needs to be a part of the handicap every single time there's an example of it. And that means the Orioles were back from a long trip. Home in their first game, no days off. Yankees rested, a lot of advantages at that number. I had to bet it. It got there for a win. And Contreras went over, sailed over the total bases last night as well, over 1.5 at plus 125. The new bets that we have. Okay, so this is a lot of fun. Now, these are pizza money bets. We'll call them 0.2 or 0.1 units. But these are NFL September specials. DK has it. They're labeled like first 3 weeks. Caesars has it, and they're offering, you know, September specials. So, kind of a simple handicap here. But Pro Football Focus, when you look at their fantasy football SOS, all you have to do is Google like PFF SOS, boom, pops up. And you can break it down by position. They have all the weeks in front of you, right? And they have a number listed to assign the defenses each team will face for their respective positions, right? So, for example, the Rams running backs in week one, they get the 49ers defense. That is listed as a 10, meaning that's the easiest opponent that you can possibly get is a 10. When a team grades out as a 0, that's almost impossible. Well, the Rams also play a very difficult rush defense in week 3. That's the Denver Broncos. So I'm not adding like Kyren Williams to the list here. However, the two teams with the easiest 3 weeks in, for running backs overall are the Los Angeles Chargers and the Houston Texans. So I have bet Omarion Hampton and David Montgomery most rushing touchdowns and most rushing yards. Hampton 18-1 most touchdowns, 12-1 most yards. Montgomery 28-1 for both. And the other one is when you break down the wide receivers, like I don't trust Jalen Hurts throwing the football as far as you can throw the guy. But they have, out of the gates, they get the Commanders defense. Absolute joke. PFF grades their defense at a 9.9, almost a perfect 10 to go against them. They get the Titans as a 9.4 in week 2, and they get the Bears with a 6.7 in week 3. Devontae Smith, 20-1. Most receiving yards in September is the bet. And I got to do it. I'm betting on the Mariners after getting absolutely rock and rolled last night in Milwaukee.
1888? Something, when something hasn't happened that long, then you know you're doing something spectacular.
Oh, no question. I think with Gilbert on the mound tonight, I expect this team to turn into a set of pros and wipe that stank off of them tonight and give me a chance to win this game at plus money. I'll take plus 110 with the Mariners in this game.
All right. Getting close to college football season. And week 0, get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. Preview of every team. Humans, Stone, top 10 poll, power ratings, proven betting systems, a ton of best bets and win totals. You also get the NFL betting guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, every best bet, every host, every guest. Try it today, $9.99, or lock in a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription, vsin.com/subscribe. Plenty of Fantasy Friday with Lisa Ann in studio as well.
Looking oh, she's in studio?
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be like a Zoom hookup.
He's in town. What a 180. If you talk about turning your career in a different direction and pivoting, I'd go Mike Tyson 1, Lisa Ann 2.
That high, huh?
What they did. Big into fantasy football and loves sports.
I have no idea. What did she do before fantasy?
Nayland Palin was one of them. Good movie. I'm going to check that out.
Breaking news, NFL. Vita Vea has re-signed.
Oh, he did?
With the Buccaneers. Yep. A one-year extension, $30 million. Is that right? Reached agreement today, one-year extension, $30 million. So he's got two more seasons left. He gets $6 million in new money this year.
Would you give... Okay, let me ask you two here. Would you break the bank for Mayfield and Stroud? Either guy.
What's breaking the bank?
I'm seeing 4 for $224 extension for Stroud.
Oh, God.
I mean, is that laughable or what? after the guy should have been benched in both playoff games?
I don't even know if I would start him this year.
Yeah, yeah.
So no chance would I give that guy an extension. Like none.
Mills held it down. I think they went 4-0 without him.
CJ Stroud is the definition of, yo, man, you need to go out there and prove it to us this year. And if you do, then we can talk turkey.
Right, I'm not talking that much for Mayfield, but I'm saying, would you got to pay
I'd give Mayfield easily more money than Stroud.
Yeah, he's ticked off, but he says he's going to show them, and they're going to prove a lot of people wrong this year.
By the way, that is not exactly great news today for the Texans. Higgins out for the year.
Yeah.
Torn ACL. You're down to Nico Collins, and he's awesome. Don't get me wrong.
I expect a big year out of Tank Dell, and I bet him comeback player of the year.
Oh, nice number, huh?
50-1, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to – and they have Hutchinson as well.
He was his go-to guy before the injury.
Tank Dell. I hope you're right on that.
He loved him.
That'd be a great story. But I think that David Montgomery has a lot there this year. He is, by far the number one guy in their backfield.
Yeah. This is just a fun list that we did at the top of the show. Like, if not now, when? Like, these guys have got to produce and have big years. You know, can Lamar get over the hump? Can Herbert win a playoff game? Can Kyler Murray get there? He's only been to one playoff game. He was awful in the loss to the Rams. Huge year for Stroud. Dak's polarizing. Only a couple playoff wins. He's been bad and turnover prone in a lot of big games. What does Hurts look like now with no A.J. Brown and Mannion taking over at OC?
Right.
And it's a big year for Jordan Love. You know, you lose a couple key guys. And I also, Nick Whalen said this several times, they need to play with tempo and speed it up, that they would play too slow last year on offense.
I think a case can be made that Jordan Love has actually, he's made his teammates better around him, but he really needs to do that a lot. He needs to follow in the footsteps of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, because they did that seemingly every single year of their careers there, where they would just get the best out of every possible guy that they would throw the ball to around that team. And I think their weapons are okay. Like, if Kraft is healthy, arguably best tight end in football, I would go that far with him. The other three guys, I mean, what Paul Bovey hinted at earlier this hour is maybe they got rid of the wrong guy in Dobbs. I don't disagree. I think you could absolutely make the case that Dobbs is the guy they should have kept. Jayden Reed, I like.
That's a crazy contract, though. But
yeah, well, yeah, for sure.
The guy, I don't think the guy's ever had 100 yards in a regular season game.
I want to like Watson. How many games does he play?
Okay, yeah.
Does he play 8, 9, 10 games?
Yeah.
And then the other one is Golden as a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Didn't score a touchdown?
Yeah.
That's
regular season, yeah.
Yeah, man. So if Love can, like I said this earlier, shaky defense, I think, with no Parsons to begin the year, offensive line, if people are right about that and the O-line stinks and there's no Josh Jacobs, well, if they're winning games, it's probably going to be because Love's playing out of his mind. And if they win that division, they go over that win total. Love might be able to win the I'm not betting him, but he might win the MVP under that scenario. But as I said earlier, that's a lot of ifs that have to come in all at the same time.
How early will the Lions go tomorrow in the draft? Because you have to take a division winner.
Win total or division? Yeah, division.
Yeah.
They'll go, well, where's Dave Ross picking? Because that's going to be a Cowboys pick for sure. He's picking, I think, top five, top three, something like that again. The Lions will go put it this way. I'm picking 11th. There's no chance the Lions will be there for me at number 11.
No.
Where are you picking?
3rd.
Well, then there you go. They're going to go 3rd.
No. I would not. I'm not going to take them 3rd. Okay. I'm not that strong on them. 2-0. 2-0 Rays already.
All right. Just like that off Scherzer. Good job out of you. Stay tuned. Primetime's coming up next. Doug Kazarian and Will Hill will take you through the entire live betting night tonight in baseball. Good luck out there.